Praise be Jesus and Mary. The book of Leviticus is the central book of the five Old Testament books of Moses. There's Genesis, there's Exodus, there's Leviticus, and there's Numbers and Deuteronomy. The book is situated after the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and before they had entered the Promised Land. So while the Israelites were in the desert with Moses, Leviticus lays out the rules for religious worship for the Israelites, the norms for the priestly class, which were in charge of worship, and the norms that were to regulate the relationships between the people and the priests, and the people among themselves, and also with the temple as well. Today's first reading, taken from the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, begins this way. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the whole assembly of the children of Israel and tell them, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Leviticus 19, verses 1 and 2. The fact that the Hebrews, had been taken out of Egypt by God, separated from the Egyptians, was already a sign of their holiness. That word holy in Hebrew is kadosh, which means separated. The separation of Israel from the other nations was again a sign of their sanctification, of how God was making them into a holy people. The Lord also highlights this concept of sanctity, of the sanctity of his people, in other places in that same book of Leviticus. In chapter 11, when referring to unclean animals, the Lord says this to the Israelites. He says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 11, verses 44 and 45. And in Leviticus chapter 20, the Lord says this, quote, "If any of you turn to medium and wizards, prostituting themselves to them, I will set my face against them and will cut them off from the people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and observe them. I am the Lord, I sanctify you." Leviticus 20, verses 6 through 7. And even St. Peter, in his first letter of the New Testament, picks up on these admonitions to holiness that we find in the book of Leviticus when he writes this. He says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, discipline yourselves, set all your hopes in the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead," he says, "as he who has called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written," and he quotes from Leviticus, "you shall be holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 16. Now, by the time St. Peter was writing his letter in the middle, admonition to be holy as God himself is holy still remained and still remains for us as well today, because we know that even our Lord in his Sermon on the Mount told us this. He said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. So what does it mean for us to be holy as God is holy and to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect? Well, to put it simply, it means that we are to reflect God's character in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in our choices, in every respect of our lives. To be holy means to not be conformed to the world's way of thinking, speaking, and behaving, but rather to be transformed by God's way of thinking, God's way of speaking, and his way of behaving as well. Being holy means being in the world, but not of the world, as St. John would tell us. A holy person is someone who is close to God, like a newborn child is close to his or her mom. A holy person is someone who reflects God's characteristics, like when you look into a mirror and you see your reflection. So too, when we encounter a holy person, we see God's reflection in them as well. And a holy person is someone who lives their lives with a supernatural purpose in mind. Holy people, we can say, are the real superheroes in life. They're more powerful than Superman. Why? Because their power comes from the Holy Spirit. They're more ingenious and intrepid than Batman, because they have more frequent recourse to Our Lady, not to Alfred, to get them out of whatever mess they find themselves into. And they're more patriotic than Captain America, because they are humble yet fierce citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Holy people share in God's perfection, and being perfect doesn't mean doing everything perfectly or flawlessly. It means loving God and loving others with a pure heart, serving them as Christ himself would do. Christ, who came, as he said, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. There's a very important letter dating probably from the end of the second century, written to a man named Dionysius, a high-ranking pagan who was inquiring about the Christian religion. The unknown author of the letter gives this description of the supernatural life of Christians in the second century. This is what he says, how Christians lived. He says, "Christians are not distinguished from the rest of mankind by either country, speech, or customs. The fact is, they nowhere settle in cities of their own. They use no peculiar language. They cultivate no eccentric mode of life. Certainly, this creed of theirs is no discovery due to some conceit or speculation of inquisitive men, nor do they, as some sects do, champion any doctrine of human origin," he says. "Yet while they settle in both Greek and non-Greek cities, as each one's lot is cast, and conform to the customs of the country in dress, diet, and mode of life in general," he says, "their whole tenor of life, the way of living, stamps it as worthy of admiration and admittedly contrary to expectation. They reside in their respective cities, but only as aliens. They take part in everything as citizens and put up with everything as if they were foreigners. Every foreign land is their home, and every home a foreign land. They marry like all others and beget children, but they do not expose their offspring. Their board they spread for all, but not their bed. They find themselves in the flesh, but they do not live according to the flesh. They spend their days on earth, but holding citizenship in heaven. They obey the established laws, but in their private lives go beyond the laws. They love all men and are persecuted by all. They are unknown and yet are condemned. They are put to death and are restored to life. They are poor and enrich many. Destitute of everything, they abound in everything. They are dishonored, and in their dishonor they find their glory. They are calumniated, and they are vindicated. They are reviled, and they a different tribe. The Greeks persecute them, and those who hate them can assign no reason for their hatred, for their enmity." That's from 1800 years ago. That was written about the Christians who lived in the time of paganism. So it's a very beautiful description, 1800-year-old description of what it was like to live a life, a holy life, in the midst of ordinary activities, and sometimes in the midst of extraordinary persecutions. And even Catholics living and working in the world today are called to be holy, to be set apart from those around them, by living a life which reflects Christ's character and which reflects Our Lady's character in what we think, again, in what we say, and in the choices that we make as well. There is, of course, a greater call to holiness for those who are priests and religious, because they are set apart or separated from the world by means of their religious consecration, the evangelical vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and for priests and deacons by means of holy orders. Priests and religious have a higher calling to sanctity because their lives are totally dedicated to God and to serving the people of God, as our Lord said of us, to whom much has been given, much will be required. Luke 12, verse 48. So as we continue on this in this season of Lent, let's invoke the help of the saints to help us truly embrace this call to holiness, which is really a call to be all that we were created to be, and to become as happy and as blessed as God desires us to be. And let's ask Our Lady for the grace to begin or to lead a holy life, a life where we allow God to be in control, where we allow Our Lady, our Heavenly Mother, to fully come into our lives so that she can form and mold us into the perfect image of her perfect Son. Praised be Jesus and Mary. Amen.